Lord, everyone. It is always a pleasure to come to Vacaville. I guess it was some 40 years ago, I drove through this town, much younger man than I am now, and I just thought to myself, I would like to have a church in this town, or start a church in this town. And I never could get around to it. But thank God that somebody else did. The Brother Edgar got around to coming here and opening the church. And I've had the privilege of holding some revivals here.
Yeah.
That to me was a milestone in our ministry. And then I had the privilege of coming back.
Yeah.
And I told Brother Edgar the other night, I said, I'd like to come and preach to your church. Amen. You folks just make us feel so welcome and so at home that we just want to come back. And so that's why we keep coming back. Praise God. The Lord's wonderful, isn't he? And I'm here to say that although I've had the Holy Ghost some 40, I believe 45, 46 years, that God is still real. Amen. And it still works today. Amen. It still fits today. When I first got the Holy Ghost, someone said, we'll give him a couple of weeks and he'll be back at our party. Well, a couple of weeks passed. They said, we'll give him a month and he'll be back. Well, a month passed and I didn't show up at none of the parties. And so they said, well, give him 3 months. Well, 3 months went by, and I guess it quit counting. But I've never been back. Praise God. Because I found something in the Holy Ghost that taken the place of all of that. Praise God. Praise God. And it's still good today. Shall we everyone lift our hands and worship the Lord? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to read you the scripture tonight. And I'm going to take a text. And I don't want anybody, when I announce my text, I don't want anybody to throw anything at me. Or I don't want them to go call the, what do you call it, Child Protective Service. I want you to turn me into the law, but I just want you to bear with me for a little while and we'll see if I can get out of it. My text is found in the 10th chapter of 1 Samuel. Saul had been anointed king over Israel, and Samuel was talking with Saul. And in the third verse, it said, then shalt thou go forward from hence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Kibar. And thou shalt meet 3 men going up to God, to Bethel. One carrying 3 kids, another carrying 3 loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. Now, I believe that the wine signifies the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit of God. The bread signifies our type of the Word of God. And what does the kids signify? You may be seated. I was raised on a farm, and I had that privilege, and I'm glad I did, because I learned many things on that farm and on my life and my young life that has helped me through life. And one thing that I learned on the farm, that there was nothing any more mischievous
kid go.
Now, these kids that this man was carrying was not children. They were goats. A goat is a kid from the time it's born until it's 6 or 8 months old. And they're one of the most... Now, I know a lot of people eat goat milk and drink goat milk. A lot of people eat goat meat. But they're one of the most honest things that you can have around the flesh. If you've never had that experience, you've missed it. But when you turn your back, they're going to hit you with that head with all they can. They will kick. They will bite. They will jump on anything that they can jump on. So tonight, my text is, let's kill the kids. There's some kids that need to be killed. My mother would dare use this expression today, but my mother used to get on to us kids and say, if you don't behave or be quiet, I'm going to kill you. This isn't a good expression, you know. But you dare not do that today. You'd be in jail if you did that, and some people hurt you. But tonight there's some kids that I'd like to kill. Now, can you imagine a man carrying 3 goats down the road? Those kid goats had little horns, stub horns, about like that. And, you know, you've heard the expression, stubborn as a goat, stubborn as a mule, or stubborn. And that you can hit a goat in the head and it don't faze you. One time, I tried to kill the goat. This was back during the Depression, and we was out of food, out of meat, and my mother said, son, you kill that goat, we'll dress that goat, and we'll eat that goat. Well, I heard that you'd take a goat and that you'd hang it up on the fence by its hind legs and cut its throat. And so I caught this goat and I hung it up by its hind legs on the fence. And I got a knife and that thing started crying like a baby. Needless to say, we never had no goat meat. But here is a man carrying 3 of these things. Now, the only way that I can figure out that he had these 3 goats is possibly that he tied their hind legs and fore legs together, what they rope for something. He had one over one shoulder and one over another one, and probably one hanging on his back. And no doubt, as he was going down the road, they would go kicking, squalling, and hitting him with them nubs of a horn. And there he was, carrying that burden down the road. And I'd like to use the goats tonight, the kids tonight, as a type of sin. Praise God. Praise God. And I don't believe that I'm taking away from the Word of God. But I do that tonight. Amen. Praise God. There are some goats that we need to kill tonight. Praise God. Now, I was raised in the, what they call now, the old school. When I came into Pentecost some 40-some-odd years ago. It was really a little different than it is nowadays. Amen. And the things they taught was a little different than what some people teach today.
You see, I happen to know Brother Edgar's pastor. I happen to know his father, known his father. And I know what Brother Edgar was taught.
Yes. Amen.
And in fact, I got the Holy Ghost. The night I got the Holy Ghost, his father was praying with you. I think I told you about that the last time. But anyway, amen, there's some kids that needs to be killed. And one of these kids is worldliness. Now don't leave me now. Please don't. Stay with me a little while. But there's just some points that I want to bring out to you tonight. Amen. Concerning this kid. I was shocked some time back when I heard that there was a certain preacher that had, I believe they called it, 15-yard line speech for the 49ers. Season tickets for the 49ers. I'm afraid tonight what may be slipping in the Pentecost, friend. Amen. Praise God. When people and some of our young people that can name more ball players than they can Bible characters.
Yeah.
I think it's time to do something about it.
Yeah.
So I made up my mind I was going to open my voice. Praise God. We was not permitted to play the little league, much less the big league. Amen. Praise God. We was not permitted that. Amen. But nevertheless, there's some things that are coming in the Pentecost. Amen. That I don't think that ought to be around. And I don't think they've got no place in Pentecost. Praise God. We used to be known for the holiness standard that we stood for. Amen. People used to be able, when our sisters walked down the street, to say, there goes a Pentecostal.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. I believe it ought to be that way today. Amen. The Bible said, come ye out from among them and be ye a separated person. Praise God. Praise God. And I believe that that ought to be the fact today.
Yes.
Amen. God forbid that we permit this kid to live in our household.
Yes.
Amen. I believe we ought to kill him.
Yes.
And the way we kill him is at the altar.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. I have a grandson that he left home, well, almost 2 years ago now. He got a job, and his job's taking him away from home. And I was preaching in his father's church sometime back. And Rodney was there. And I was preaching something along the lines that I'm preaching tonight. And after I got through preaching, Rodney came up to me and said, Grandpa, that was all right in your young days, but we're living in a different day today. Friend, the Word of God is still just the same as it was yesterday. Amen. If it said it yesterday, it says it today. So recently he moved to another church. And you want to see the pasture. Thank God there's still some people that believe it, like we believe it. He wants to see the pasture. And so the pastor introduced him to the youth minister. And so they were sitting in the youth minister's office. And the youth minister said, Rodney, what do you do for recreation? Rodney said, I ski, and I have a ski boat. He said, the man's mouth dropped open. He said, our pastor preaches against that. Praise God. Thank God he does. Rodney's up there. I don't know how he's going to make out. But I hope he gets a goat killed while he's up there. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Edgar Reedford, will you?
Yes.
All right, first one.
First John 2.
Yes.
15.
Yes.
Love not the world.
It said, love not the world. Turn it down a little bit. All right?
Neither
the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Praise God. All right?
For all that's in the world
is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father. Listen to that. Hear that. All of them things is not of the Father. All right?
But it's
of the world. All right?
The
now listen to this. The world passes away. And the lust thereof. Oh, I'm glad he put this up here. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise God. Praise God. You want me to tell you tonight what it costs to live for God? Friend, it costs you the world. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And that is really so cheap. Amen. I've never missed the world. I was in the world for 27 years. Amen. I was a partaker of it. Amen. But when I came out of the world, when I was born into the church, amen, I forsook the world, amen, and I've never missed it yet. And I'm looking to abide forever. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not all negative now. Praise God. All right. Amen. God forbid that we let these things enter into the church. Amen. If they're wrong 40-some years ago, they're wrong today. Praise God. Praise God. Now I'm going to a good one now. I got another kid. This guy had three of them. And so I guess I'm entitled to three of them. So I've just got three of them I want to kill tonight. Amen. Praise God. The next one, amen, is that kid of rebellion. Praise God. I'm going to get down to some of you after a while, so just bear with me for a little bit. Amen. Praise God. But I'd rather deal with an adulterous spirit as to deal with a rebellious spirit. Praise God. Praise God. In my ministry, I've had more success, amen, dealing with people with other spirits than dealing with people with a rebellious spirit.
Yes.
Amen. Friend, if you get a hold of that spirit gets a hold of you, Amen. It will damn your soul. Praise God. And there's nothing any more rebellious, amen, than a kid goat. You can't keep them anywhere. They'll jump over a fence, they'll climb through it, they'll go under it. Amen. They'll butt down the gate. Amen. They're rebellious. Praise God. Praise God. And God forbid us to have a rebellious spirit tonight. Read that scripture.
If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son.
Ooh, listen. Wait, aren't you one before this? How about Joshua? Joshua 1:18. Okay, read that. Whosoever that rebelleth. Now, against thy commandment, you know what? Against the word of God.
Yes.
Whoever, now, rebels against the word of God. All right?
Yes. And will not hearken unto thy word.
And will not hearken unto thy word.
In all
that you commanded.
He shall be put to death.
Friend, if you rebel against the word of God, amen, the Bible says that you should be put to death. Praise God. There's another scripture that I'm trying to think of. Amen. But God forbid that we ever rebel against the word of God. The word of God says what it means. And mean what it says.
Yes.
Amen. Some people, you might as well stay with me now for a minute.
Yes.
Amen. Some people will take the name of Jesus in any way. They pray over their food in His name. They pray over sick in His name.
Yes.
Amen. They've everything they pray in His name.
Yes.
But then rebel when it comes to being baptized. In His name. And the Bible says that you should die. If we treated rebellion today as they treated it in the Old Testament, there'd be less around. You know how they treated it in the Old Testament? Child protection services wouldn't get no worse. Amen. Isn't that what they call that agency that that causes to let go? You got to take care of it. You deal with it, don't you? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. If we would deal with rebellion today the way that the Old Testament dealt with it, amen, that's an agency of the Satan to just close up. Read it. Deuteronomy. What is it? 21st chapter?
Yes,
18th verse. Listen to it. If you got a stubborn and rebellious son, and will not obey the voice of his father, or the voice of his mother, that when they have chastened him, hey, that means when they give him a whipping, which you dare not do today, when they really work to give him a whipping. All right, go ahead. Then shall his father and mother. They want to grab a hold of him. Amen. They're capturing him, in other words. All right, go ahead.
And bring him out unto the elders of the city.
And they want to bring him to the elders of the city.
And under the gate of the place.
Under the gate.
And they shall say unto the elders of his city.
They say unto the elders now. This is publicly. The gate represents the place of authority. Amen. And that's the authorities now. They brought him to the authorities. Amen. And that now then this is taking place publicly to a rebellious child. All right,
he.
Now he's stubborn and rebellious.
He won't obey our voice.
He
won't
obey us.
He's a glutton.
He's a glutton. And a drunkard.
All the men of the city shall stone him.
you know. All the men of the city shall stone him with stones until he dies. Praise God. Friends, let's kill that rebellious goat tonight. Praise God. Let's don't let it hang around. Let's accept the Word of God. Let's do the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says, let's just be willing and obedient and accept it and obey the Word of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. God, we love you, 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 we love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm coming to the third goat now, the third kid. Amen. For your information, I have two children. Amen. I have two boys and a son. I never felt like children. I love them. Amen. I have a daughter that her and her husband pastors the church in San Jose. And my two boys is not living for God. But I love them, and I would not want to do harm to them. But these kids I want to kill. Praise God. Praise God. The next kid that I want us to kill tonight, amen, is the kid of unbelief. Praise. The kid of unbelief. You see, unbelief stops God from working. Unbelief hinders the work of God. Praise God. I believe it's Matthew 13th chapter. Yeah, Matthew 13. Amen. It tells us what really unbelief did to the Lord. 1354, I believe.
When he was coming to his own country.
And when Jesus had come to his own country.
He taught in the synagogue.
And
so much that they were astonished.
And they were astonished that he preached the way he preached. All right? Where did this man get all this wisdom?
And these mighty works.
Isn't this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Paul Mary? They knew who he was.
And his brother James.
His brother James? Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
And his
sister, they're not all here? Here's where the unbelief comes in now. All right. Jesus said unto them, listen to it now.
The prophet is not without honor.
The prophet is not without honor. In his own country. In his own house. Did you hear? No doubt they were sick people laying there that he could not heal. Because of their unbelief. No doubt there was people there that needed forgiveness of sins, but he could not do it because of unbelief. Praise God. Unbelief is just simply not having faith. Not believing God. That's all that unbelief is. Praise God. If we can believe God tonight, amen. Great things can happen in our life. Praise God. Great things can happen. Praise God. We're not going to read it. But I think it's in St. John, the 14th chapter. Did I give it to you? 14th chapter. That Jesus said that if you would only believe, amen, that all things, amen, could be done in his name. And he also said in that same chapter, praise God, amen, that if you believe that greater works could you do than these things. Jesus had raised the dead. He had opened the blinded eyes. Amen. The dumb had spoke. Amen. He met a man with the withered hand, and he prayed for him, and the hand straightened out. He met the leopard. He healed the leopard. Praise God. All because they believed. Amen. Praise God. But here he is now. Amen. No doubt all of these people are still around him. And he could not do it because of the unbelief. Praise God. Praise. Praise God. God, I want to believe you. I guess one of the hardest things that I had of getting the Holy Ghost was that I just did not know whether I really believed that God was going to give me the Holy Ghost. Amen. And as long as I was in that attitude, I didn't get it. And you won't either, friend. You've got to believe God. He tells us to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Somewhere down the line, if we intend to make heaven our home, we're going to have to believe God. We're just going to have to believe what he said. Amen. That faith come by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So somehow, somebody has got to preach God. Amen. So that we can believe God and receive the things that we need from God. Unbelief will rob you of the victory. Amen. Unbelief will keep you out of the church. Unbelief, amen, will keep you from being healed. Praise God. I've had people to say to me, I like your singing. I like your worship. I like your preaching. But I just don't know whether I believe it's all necessary. Friend, you just got to believe the word of God. Praise God. It's all in there. Amen. Every bit of it's in there. Everything we believe is in there. Everything I preach to you tonight is in there. Praise God. Now then, step up to believe. Praise God. Praise God. I tried to get the Holy Ghost, and I couldn't get the Holy Ghost. And friend, you can't get the Holy Ghost. God has got to give you the Holy Ghost. Amen. You cannot get it. Amen. I'd work myself into a sweat. I would scream so loud I wouldn't have no voice for a week. Amen. I was literally trying to get the Holy Ghost. But you can't get it. But if you can believe Him, God can give you the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. If you can believe Him, God can heal your body tonight. Praise God. Praise God. It all depends on whether we can believe. I want to relate this to you tonight. Amen. It really helped me when this happened in the church that I pastored. An associate pastor came one day, and he said that him and his wife had been going to a hospital and visiting a lady that was in an automobile accident, and her back was broken. And he said they had been visiting her and teaching, giving her Bible. And he said she's going home today, and said they're taking her home by ambulance. She can't walk. And said, they're taking her at a certain time. And said, the wife and I are going to a certain time after they take her home, and we're going to baptize her in Jesus' name in the baptism. I asked him if he wanted us to go help. He said, no, they can take care of it themselves. His brother and sister will. No. Amen. And so, they went on. Sometime later, he said, you know the woman that was baptized in the bathtub? He said, she got the Holy Ghost in the bathtub. Praise God. She believes God. Amen. But you got the Holy Ghost in the back. And said, God has marvelously touched her. Amen. And said, she's coming to the church. And so a few weeks later, two of her daughters brought her in the side door. She had her arms up around their neck. And really, they were more or less just dragging her in. But she came, and they helped her down to the front. And we prayed for her. And God marvelously touched her. Now, let me tell you something. There's a difference in being touched and being a miracle. And, there's a difference. God touches a lot of people. That's not completely healed. Amen. That's not a miracle. Amen. God marvelously touched her. And so, this incident taking place over a period of years. The associate pastor passed away. I didn't have much contact with her until he passed away. That was ill and taken care of. But after he passed away, in the meantime, over this period of years, she had got, with the help of crutches and walking chains and walking, that she could get around a little bit. She came in my office one day, and she told me that she wanted to give the church her equity in an area. And this was the first time that I really had very much contact with her. So the next few years, the wife and I had close contact with her. And she got better for a while, and then she began to deteriorate. And to make a long story short, we would visit her sometime. We'd find her laying in the floor. She would call her to come on in. She didn't know who we was knocking out there, but she'd call us to come on in, somebody to help her. Maybe she'd get up and try to get some water or something or food, and she'd fall, and she could not get back. And so, many times we found her. But practically every time that we went to her house, we would find a Bible close where she was at. If she's laying in bed, the Bible was laying there in bed. If she was up at a table, the Bible was there. Then she'd say, Brother and Sister Daniels, I read so many chapters in a certain book today. And she just really enjoyed the Word of God. Praise God. Incidentally, she'd say to me, did you bring me any tithing envelopes? And if I said, no, I don't have any, then she would come and scold me for not bringing the envelope. She thought she had to have a tithe and envelope to pay her tithe. Amen. That was all right. Thank God. Bless her heart. Amen. But you always had that word of God. Well, Georgia deteriorated to the point where they take me to the hospital. And the doctor called her husband. His name was Francis. They called him today. Said, we want to talk to you. And so he went down to the hospital and met the doctor. Doctor take him into a room. Sit down with him. Said, Francis, we want to tell you the truth. Your wife's back is completely so many vertebrae where it was broken. It's completely destroyed. There's nothing there. She will never walk again. She'll never take another step. She has got 3 months to live. And said, our recommendation is if you put her in a convalescent hospital or nursing home, whichever is one, so that she can be made comfortable, somebody that can take care of her, and said, that is our recommendation. So Francis walked back in to the hospital room. He said, Georgia, they want to put you in a convalescent hospital. Francis told me that she looked up at him with tears in her eyes. Said, Francis, please don't put me in a convalescent hospital. But go in a hospital bed. Take it home. Said, there's room in the living room for it. And put it in the living room. Said, I'll be all right. Francis went to work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And 12 midnight. She said, you can give me water, whatever I need, and put it there at the bed. She said, Francis, I'd like you to do that. Well, he obeyed her wishes, and I would have done the same thing.
Amen. We would go. She'd be laying there reading the Bible.
I've never seen her in a discouraged moment. She always had a smile on her face. Amen. She was so happy because she had the word of God. Remember, friend, faith comes here and here by the word of God. Amen. She had that word of God. And she held on to that word. Amen. She got a letter from a niece in Bakersfield. And, well, I don't know whether the letter was from the niece, but someone at Bakersfield, and they told her that the niece had come with cancer. Only just a short time to live. And so one night after Francis had went to work, Georgia decided that she'd call her niece and just try to encourage her. She had some scriptures that she wanted to read to her, some of the Word of God. Amen. So Francis called her, and she was shocked when she answered the phone. She said, praise the Lord. And Francis said, what? He said, praise the Lord. He said, haven't you heard? He said, I went to Brother Terry's church and said, they prayed for me. And God completely healed me. He said, I went back to the doctors. They taken new x-rays. They taken more, made more blood tests. He said, I don't have no cancer. So Georgia rejoiced over the telephone with this meeting. Really praising God. Thank you, God, for the miracle that had been done. After she hung up, Georgia said, she she learned that, she told me. And said, all at once, it come to her, God, I never did really ask you to heal me immediately. I always just thought I'd start getting better, and over a period of time, get better. But I never asked you for any healing like my niece received. And she said she laid there for a little while and said she really felt the Spirit of God. Aren't you thankful for the Spirit? And said the Spirit of God was on her. And she said, God, if you heal my niece of terminal cancer, you can heal me. And she said, this wonderful Spirit. She began to talk in other tongues. And the blessings of God bestowed. Said she felt so good. And said, all at once, she thought, now this lady hadn't moved a leg for 3 months. She said, Lord, I wonder if I can move my leg. And she made another effort. And the other leg moved. And so all this time, Georgia was worshiping God. She thought, I wonder if I could set up. And so said she made the effort, swung her feet off the bed. The next thing she knew, she was sitting on the side of the bed. And said, she began to realize, I don't have a pain in my body. The first time in years since the automobile wreck that she didn't have a pain. Praise God. Fred, it pays to believe God. If there's any unbelieving goats around here tonight, let's kill them. Let's begin to believe God. That she didn't have a pain in her body. And she sat there as she stood up. And she said while she was standing there, she realized, I'm standing up. I don't have a crutch. I don't have a walker. Amen. I'm standing on my own 2 feet. Amen. And she said, God, you brought me this far. You brought me out of that bed. Amen. I'm standing up with no pain. And she said, I wonder if I can take a step. And she made an effort. And she said her right leg went for it. And she said, God, can I take another one? Her left leg went for it. Amen. And she said, Brother Dansby, the next thing I knew, Francis was grabbing me, shaking me, said, what in the world has happened to you? She said she was shouting all over that place. Said she was dancing, she was leaping, she was jumping. Amen. And rejoicing all because you believe God. Praise God. Somewhere down the line, Georgia killed the goat of unbelief. Praise God. Praise God. She, it was 12 o'clock when Francis come in. She told Francis what happened. She had 6 daughters. None of them thought enough of her to stay home and take care of her. Or to even help her. But she went to the telephone. And she began to call them. And so they, yeah. I don't have much room to talk, I'll tell you in a minute. Amen. So they said, we'll be over in the morning, Mom. So the next morning they came over and Georgie was sitting in the living room in a chair. So they came marching in, all 6 of them. They said, now, Mama, give us that bottle.
She said, what do you mean? She said, give us that pill bottle. They said, we know what you've done. You've taken a bunch of pain pills and you're up here on your feet now. Give us that bottle. She said, I've never taken a pain pill. She said, would you believe it if I run down to the end of the block and back? And so the girls were standing there and she said, open the door, Francis. And Francis opened the door. Down she went, down the street. Amen. Turned around and ran back. And said, search this house. Amen. There's no pill bottle. But God has marvelously healed me. Praise God. Now then, my part was this. That was on a Thursday night. We had church Friday night. I come home Thursday evening sometime. And my wife said, Sister Chavoy called. I'll tell you her name. This testimony is still good today. And this has been about 14 years ago it happened. But this testimony still holds. She said, Sister Chavoy called and said God healed her last night. That she'll be at church tonight. And I just more or less said, yes, I heard that before, you know. But to my amazement that night, amen, on about the first song, the door swung open. And here comes Georgia. Georgia was not walking. She was shot from the back of that church all the way down to the front. Amen. Telling people that God had performed the miracle. You know what brought that miracle? It wasn't somebody anointing her and praying for her. It was because Georgia had killed the unbelieving kid somewhere in her life. And she believed the word of God. Praise God. Greater things than you do than this. Now, as far as I know, the greatest thing that can happen to an individual was not George's healing. Was not that miracle. But the greatest thing that ever happened to Georgia was that day in the baptism when she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. That's the greater work that you can do if you just believe God. Praise God. Jesus never had the privilege to lay his hand on an individual and then receive the Holy Ghost. But friend, we have that privilege today. That's greater work than he was able to do. He never had that privilege to do that. But he said if we would believe him, we could do that. And friend, tonight, you can receive the Holy Ghost if you can believe God. You can receive remission of sin if you can believe God. Praise God. Praise. Let's everyone lift our hands and worship the Lord. God, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. Praise God. Praise God. God is real tonight. God is real tonight. And I believe God wants to do something for somebody tonight. Praise God. I believe that God wants to do something for some honest heart tonight. Somebody that will believe him. Amen. Somebody that will have faith in him, that God will do what his word says that he did. Praise God. Would the musicians come tonight while we worship the Lord? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just everybody believe God right now, shall we? Let's believe God that God want to move right now. God would like to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost tonight. God would like to forgive somebody's sin tonight. Praise God. Friend, if you can believe him tonight, the Bible said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is
a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise God. Praise God. Shall we worship him one more time tonight? Shall we worship him? Praise God. Let's worship him tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Shall we stand tonight? As the sister sings a song, would there be somebody like to come tonight? Or does somebody like to have the Holy Ghost tonight? Or does somebody like to have their sins be forgiven tonight? Come right now. Praise God. Praise God.
It will be worth it all when we life's treasure seems so small when we see Christ. But we will so be
today. Everyone likes to come right now.
So
I feel like God's talking to someone tonight.
So
if you come tonight, you want God tonight. Oh, yeah, come on, man. Sing it. Oh, pray that it be worth every bit of it. Oh, when you see him tonight,
life's charge will seem so small.